Okay, in this lesson, we're going to go over some general tips on how to craft these emails and how to manage the process of writing them. The first tip is to consider reusing some of your content. So I've given you many examples to show you how you can combine all of these elements to craft short and powerful prospecting emails. And again, I can't stress enough the importance of making each and every email unique based on what you know about the prospect and how that ties into your ability to help them. If you deviate from this, you can very quickly be labeled as a spammer. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have some pre-made copy ready to go should you come across a great prospect you want to reach out to. And let me explain what I mean by that. Here's the email template again, the one we covered earlier in the module. So the subject line would basically contain a meaningful connection, and then the body copy of the email would start off by continuing that meaningful connection dialogue and then talking about your value statement, making a soft offer, possibly capping it off with a hard offer, and that's it. Then you're a very basic email signature. One thing you could do is create an inventory, so to speak, of really good elements for some of these items. So let's say you come up with a brilliant subject line. Let's just use one of the ones from one of the previous lessons. I helped Whole Foods rebrand, or congrats on the book deal, or any of the others that we talked about previously. They're very simple, but they're very effective, and they can be repurposed over and over again if you change the specifics to reflect the situation on your next email and the specifics about the prospect, the trigger event, the meaningful connection, etc. So if you look at the structure I use with these subject lines, it's basically this: I helped client achieve X or do this. Or with the second subject line example I showed you, congrats on the achievement, or it could be a promotion, a new hire, etc. So what you can do is basically create a file on your computer that houses an inventory of these elements. And as you come up with great subject lines or soft offers, hard offers, etc., just add them to that file. And when you need to craft a new email and need some ideas, you can very quickly refer to that document for elements, and you can repurpose and customize some of them to fit a very specific need. All right, the tip number two is to never send attachments in a prospecting email. Sending an attachment is just going to increase the chances of the email getting trapped in the prospect's spam folder. And even if it does get through to the inbox, many people still view attachments suspiciously when they come from someone they don't know, even if the sender looks credible. So if you want to send information, like I showed you in my examples of soft offers, include a link in your email instead. And don't embed the link in text. So actually show and write out the whole URL. HTTP colon forward slash or www dot whatever. Also, keep your URLs short. So what you're going to find is that with ultra convoluted URLs that have 472 characters, they're going to get cut off by some email clients and they're not going to work. So keep your URLs short. And finally, don't use a URL shortener. So I know I want you to keep them short, but that doesn't mean use a tiny URL or bud URL or one of the other popular shorteners. Show the actual URL, because URL shortener doesn't show the actual web page address or a web address to the prospect. And they might be a little suspicious if they can't tell where this is going to go to. So you want to maximize the number of click-throughs to do that, show exactly the page address that you're going to send them to. I should also mention that your email signature should be very simple. It's okay to maybe have one URL in your signature, but if your standard email signature that you use contains a bunch of copy and several links, strip it down when sending out these emails. You don't want the focus of your email to be on your signature and everything that's in it. You want the prospect focused on your message. And an email signature with a bunch of copy and links, it's just going to create confusion and possibly depress response and create inaction on the prospect's part. Tip number three is to keep your copy conversational. So write the email in a friendly, upbeat, conversational manner. You don't want to sound like a corporation. At the same time, your copy needs to strike a good balance between friendliness and a to-the-point tone. You have yet to establish trust with a prospect, so being overly friendly in an effort to establish rapport will often backfire on you. Make sure it doesn't sound like a polished sales letter, because if it does, the prospect will think it's a typical marketing message and he or she will just ignore it. Tip number 4 is to be confident. Don't sound meek or apologetic. You know, don't say something like, "Sorry to bother you like this. I was just wondering if you might need a freelance writer. I'm really good and I'll work for free on the first project just to prove myself to you." Don't do that. That's a position of weakness. You really want to put yourself in a position of strength and authority. Even if you're a bit nervous about approaching a prospect whom you think is too good for you, or even if you're just starting out. I understand these feelings. I've been there. But you need to get over that. You need to remind yourself about what you bring to the table, how you've helped others, both as a freelancer and as a previous employee, if you're just now getting started as a solo professional. Read testimonials you've received from some of your clients. Think back to a situation where a client praised you or your work. Do whatever it takes to psych yourself up, because so much of marketing and sales is about confidence. If you come across as unsure of yourself or your abilities, your prospects will quickly sense that. And even if your copy and call to action are strong, your lack of confidence will override them. Tip number 5 is to keep it short. I've said this earlier, but it bears repeating. Again, you're shooting for 100 to 125 words tops, and if you can do it under 100 words, even better. Keep in mind that, again, the goal of the email is to get the prospect to raise his or her hand, so to speak, and indicate interest in starting some dialogue with you. That's it. It's the dialogue that follows that will determine whether or not they end up working with you. It's in the dialogue where the real selling will be done. That's where you can both determine if there's a fit and if it would make sense to go to the next step and put a proposal together or set up a meeting or whatever the next step would be in your sales cycle. The email alone can't possibly get you that next step, so don't try to make it do that. It's not intended to get you there. I realize that there's a strong temptation to lay it all out there, to show and tell the prospect everything you can do for them and all your impressive accomplishments, but while that may be great for you, it will dramatically decrease your chances of response. Believe me, in your email, less is more. All you want is a response. You want to see if they'll play ball with you. That's it. Tip number 6 is to stick to subject lines that are short, relevant, and intriguing. Your email subject line is probably the most important part of your email. That's because it's a teaser, and if the prospect senses that the message it contains is not relevant or valuable, he'll hit delete without even reading your message. So in order to have your message open and read, you need a great subject line. Now, subject line development is an art in and of itself, but I wanted to give you some powerful tips here on how to create awesome subject lines for your prospecting emails. First, keep it short. I would shoot for 40 total characters or less, 50 characters at the most. That's total, including spaces. Next, capitalize the first word of your subject line only. I've tested this in using a headline style subject line where you basically capitalize the first letter of every word. It's not going to work as well. For some reason, it comes across as more of a marketing message, not a one-to-one note. Also, make it relevant by including an element of that connection that you're going to be making in the body of the email. So going back to some of our examples earlier, congrats on the book deal. I helped Whole Foods rebrand. Pelham collateral headache. All of these examples are very relevant to the prospect they're being sent to. They hint at the topic you're going to talk about in the email, which is something that's important or relevant to them. And notice how short these are. At the same time, you have to make the subject line intriguing without coming across as some sort of slick, hyped-up marketer. There's a fine line here, and that's where much of the art of subject line development comes in. Finally, notice how all three previous subject line examples hinted at something relevant and important without giving away the whole message. You want to communicate enough for the prospect to open up the email, but you obviously don't want to trick the prospect by saying something and then talking about something completely different in the email. I call that bait and switch. That's when you would trick the prospect into opening the email by saying something you know will cause him to open it, but then making the email about something completely different. You don't want to do that. Tip number 7 is to have a good stable of soft offers you can use. So, as I mentioned earlier in this lesson, it's a good idea to keep a list of good copy ideas you've used successfully and which can be repurposed in the future. One particular list you should definitely start building is a list of quality soft offers. If you're just starting out, or even if you've been freelancing for a while but just don't have existing content that's both tied to what you do and positions you as a go-to solo professional in your field, you need to start developing one or two simple pieces you can use as soft offers. Types of soft offers that could work very well are case studies or success stories, documents that show how you've helped a client solve a specific challenge. Another good one are articles or news releases about how you helped a client solve a challenge. So instead of a case study format, more of an article or news release format. Another one would be an article, report, or white paper that explains the value of what you do without talking about you specifically. And this can work especially well when you're talking about concepts that the prospect may not be as familiar with. So new technologies, new approaches, in my field, it'd be white paper marketing or lead nurturing, which are kind of foreign concepts to smaller companies, for example. So if I was approaching smaller companies and I was talking about a new way of generating leads that they're not very familiar with, an article or a report or white paper on that topic would be a good choice. Another idea would be to send out or link to a nicely laid out document with client testimonials or a page that contains one or two video or audio testimonials from some of your clients, or a link to your homepage or a Why Me page on your website that explains what makes you different. And it does it a little better than you could in the email because you don't have a lot of room in your email. Or you could link to a samples portfolio or one of your portfolio one sheets. So as you can see, there are many possibilities here. One thing though, whatever you do, don't make them have to register to get your soft offer. So when you provide a link, have that link take them directly to that item. Now in terms of hard offers, remember that in most cases, if you have one, your hard offer will simply be a phone or a Skype conversation. I've seen some people get creative with this and instead use the hard offer to invite prospects to a small executive breakfast or an online event such as a webinar. But in my opinion, that doesn't work as well when you're doing email prospecting because that kind of offer has more of a email blast feel to it. It's not a one-to-one conversation or outreach. It feels, even if you try not to make it this way, it just feels like part of a marketing message that was obviously sent to many other people. So I would stick to a phone conversation when making a hard offer. Number 8 is to not call their baby ugly. This is a mistake I see a lot of people make. You could do everything right, everything I've talked about in this program, but then turn around and point out everything that's wrong with their whatever, their website, their design, their copy, their photography, their strategy, their public relations message or strategy, you name it, whatever you help people with. If you then blatantly point out everything they're doing wrong, you could very well lose that prospect. Here's the thing. Prospects often need and even want help from an expert, but they don't want to be constantly reminded of everything they're doing wrong or to have done wrong. Because way too often when you do that, the perception is that you're calling them stupid, and obviously no one wants to be called stupid or incompetent. In my previous career, we used to call this calling their baby ugly. I mean, how would you feel if someone told you that your baby was just plain ugly? I mean, even if you felt deep down inside that your baby wasn't really that cute yet, you don't want people saying that or thinking that. It's obviously a very hurtful thing to say, and most parents would be greatly offended by that. Well, same with prospects. Much of what you point out could very well be things they have themselves worked on for years. Personally, they've poured a lot of time, a lot of love into this, and it could be their brainchild for all you know. So be careful how you word your approach. Focus on what you can do for them and what you can improve, and stay away from pointing out all the bad stuff you're seeing. Finally, number 9 goes without saying, double check your spelling and your grammar before sending out your email. So You know, it's easy to make a mistake when we're busy, and often when you're sending these out, you know, you're trying to knock two or three out in an afternoon, and you know, you're worried about getting them out, and you don't pay attention to the spelling, or you miss something. Hey, we all do it. But take the time to double check or even triple check your spelling and your grammar. You know, it might even help to have your spouse or a friend read it if they're around. Sometimes having another set of eyes in your copy will really, really help. So, a basic step, but a very important one.